Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Faith Lapidus. This week on our program, we take a look at Washington's newly opened Museum of News, the Newseum.
There's a big story breaking at the circus, but nobody seems to know what's going on. Okay, rookie, it's your job to get the story and scoop the competition. We know what happened, when, and where. You need to find out who did it, how, and why. Ask questions, get the facts, and file the story with this PDA as soon as you can. Now get going.
So begins one of the many interactive games at the Newseum in Washington. This game, Be a Reporter, is played on a small screen in the Interactive Newsroom and Ethics Center. This area of the museum also includes an activity called Be a TV Reporter. For an extra $8, visitors can read the news in front of a camera. Afterward, they receive a picture of themselves and instructions about how to download a video of their performance.
The Newseum opened on Pennsylvania Avenue, next to the Canadian Embassy, on April 11th. It was formerly located across the Potomac River from Washington. The Newseum opened in Arlington, Virginia, in 1997, but it closed in 2002 after a decision to move to a bigger space. The newly built museum has 14 galleries, 15 theaters, and 16 zillion video screens.
One of the galleries is the Berlin Wall Gallery. It tells the story of the 4-meter-high concrete wall built in 1961. Communist East Germany built the wall to separate itself from democratic West Germany. The wall was torn down and the two Germanys reunited in 1989. The gallery contains 8 pieces of the Berlin Wall. It also includes a watchtower that stood not far from the Checkpoint Charlie crossing between East and West Berlin. 3 large screens in the gallery show 3 different movies about the history of news reporting on the Berlin Wall.
Another gallery tells the story of the Al-Qaeda terrorist attacks on New York and Washington on September 11th, 2001. The 9/11 gallery explores how the media covered the story of the attacks that killed almost 3,000 people.
The building is falling right now. People are running through the street. Smoke is everywhere. People are filling Lower Broadway.
The Twin Towers, New York's tallest buildings, collapsed after being struck by hijacked passenger planes. In the center of the gallery is a burned and twisted part of the broadcast antenna that stood on the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Also in the gallery is a damaged piece of the Pentagon, the Defense Department headquarters, which was also struck by a plane. And there is a piece of the 4th plane used in the attacks. Investigators found that the hijackers of United Flight 93 crashed the plane in a Pennsylvania field after passengers revolted.
The gallery also has items from news photographer William Biggert. He was covering the attacks in New York City when the second tower collapsed and he was killed. On the wall of the gallery are front pages from 127 newspapers reporting the attacks. The newspapers are from across the United States and 34 other nations.
The museum has a newspaper gallery that changes daily. Copies of front pages are received electronically from more than 500 newspapers around the world. 80 are printed for display. The others can be seen on touch screens. A nearby gallery displays thousands of historic publications. The oldest is a clay brick from more than 3,000 years ago. The brick has cuneiform writing on it. The symbols tell about the building of a chapel in a temple of a Sumerian king.
Also in the early news gallery are reports on the Battle of Agincourt and the Salem witch trials. The battle took place in France in 1415. The handwritten news report appeared the following year. The Salem witch trials took place in Massachusetts in 1692. The gallery describes the many ways news traveled before and after the arrival of the printing press in the 15th century. Included in the collection is a 19th century West African harp. It was played by musicians who sang about current events and spread gossip.
Among the displays about the history of news is one called "Can the Press Be Trusted?" It has examples of stories that were invented by reporters or told only one side of an issue. The display also deals with the use of unidentified sources and the risk of mistakes when reporters try to be first with a story.
Another gallery at the museum presents photographs that have won Pulitzer Prizes. The display also includes recorded comments from some of the prize-winning photographers. And the museum has a gallery to honor journalists who were killed doing their jobs. Glass panels in the Memorial Gallery list more than 1,800 names. Others will be added each year.
An independent group, the Freedom Forum, operates the museum. The group spent $100 million to buy the land and $450 million to build the new museum. The Freedom Forum teaches people about the importance of free speech and a free press. On the outside of the museum are the words of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Inside the museum, a huge screen presents political and religious leaders, entertainers, and reporters talking about those freedoms. Here is civil rights leader Martin Luther King, Jr.
But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest for rights.
Reporters received a media tour of the museum before opening day. One reporter called newspapers a dying industry and asked the chief executive officer, Charles Overby, why the museum gives them so much attention. The CEO said, "The museum is about news and the changing delivery systems for reporting it. The museum has a large gallery dealing with news in the digital age, including blogging and social networking sites. But the Internet, TV, and Radio Gallery also presents broadcasts from the past.
One area of the gallery explores instant news reporting, sometimes called citizen journalism. The display includes comments from Virginia Tech graduate student Jamal Albarghouti. With his cell phone camera, he recorded nearby sounds of gunfire as a student killed 32 people last April 16th.
I had no idea what the reaction would be when I downloaded this to CNN. I was just hoping that no one would get really angry of seeing it, and thank God that was the case. And many people came to me telling me thanks a lot. I didn't think I was in a great danger. If I was in such a situation once again, probably I'll do the same thing.
Concerns about instant news are also discussed at the museum. Here are comments from a newspaper editor at the Roanoke Times in Virginia.
We are trained professional journalists, and we are going to be very cautious about what we put online, because once it's in the paper, you can't take it back. You know, bloggers, maybe sometimes they don't realize that that little thought that just pops into their head, and they post it, and millions of people can see it online, and it can damage somebody's reputation. It can say somebody, you know, he's the guy, he's the shooter. You can't take that back.
The newly opened museum in Washington, D.C., charges as much as $20 for admission. Children 6 and younger are free. The nearby Smithsonian Museums and the National Gallery of Art are free to all visitors. But museum officials note that those museums are publicly supported. Almost 11,000 people toured the museum on opening day when admission was free. The museum calls itself the world's most interactive museum. But some people wondered how a pricey museum will succeed, especially in difficult economic times, in a city with so many free attractions.
The president of the museum, Peter Pritchard, says the hunger for news and information has never been greater around the world. Chief Executive Charles Overby says the Freedom Forum believes the museum is where it belongs among monuments to freedom. During the media tour, he was asked how this museum of news will compete with the Smithsonian museums. "We're not out to harm the Smithsonian," he said. "We just want a bit of people's time."
Our program was written by Nancy Steinbach and produced by Katie Weaver. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Steve Ember. Transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of our programs are at voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English.